Thank you all so much for continuing to come out and be a part of study of James. We got a big chunk of that done Sunday night. It's hard to believe we've been there since May. But God is faithful, and He's continued to show me more and more about what He ever has, and I hope tonight's no different. Y'all will, one more time, stand and honor the reading of God's Word. This is going to come from James chapter 5 and verse 13. James chapter 5, 13 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Lord God, I ask that you bless the reading of your scripture. Lord, I ask that you go before me. Lord, that my words be only from you. God, I ask that you prepare the hearts of the people that we receive. Lord, as you've prepared my heart as I've been studying, and God, I ask that you bind the enemy that he may not snatch any seed that would be planted tonight. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Title of my message tonight, we always have a Faith Does Something title since we started, and tonight it's Faith Prays and It Looks Out for Others. Faith prays, and it looks out for others. You may have heard this story before. Preachers use it a lot. But a man was stranded on a rooftop during a flood. The waters are rising, and he prays, "God, will you please save me? God, please, will you just please save me?" So, in a few minutes, a rowboat comes by. Man on the roof says, "No thanks." He says, "God's going to save me." A few minutes later, a motorboat comes by. Again, the gentleman says, "No thank you. God's going to do this. He's going to show up and he's going to save me." A few minutes later, a helicopter rescue comes by and drops the ladder down, and the gentleman says, "No, sir, God's going to do this for me." And each time he refuses help, he's waiting on God. Unfortunately, the water came up so high that the man drowned. So he gets into heaven and he says, "Lord, why didn't you save me?" And God replied, "I sent you a rowboat, a motorboat, and a helicopter." So that story's humorous until it's us. Until it's us. How many of us right now are drowning spiritually? We're drowning emotionally, and there is help everywhere around us. If we would just reach out. If we would just say, Thank you, God. There's the opportunity for me to ask, or for me to take that help that you've given after I've asked. So remember, James, half-brother of Jesus, he's ministering specifically to the Jerusalem church, folks that have been scattered through persecution. These folks were experiencing things that are truly difficult for even us to imagine culturally. We're so far removed, America is, from what was actually happening here at this time in the early church. So the half-brother of Jesus here in this last few verses gives us a bit of a punch. He says, faith just doesn't believe. It prays, it confesses, it heals, and it rescues. Faith is personal, and it's communal also. Faith lifts its eyes to God, and it also looks out for others. So our main idea tonight is faith prays, and it looks out for others. Let's look at verse 13 again, if you don't mind. Is anyone among you suffering? Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. James knows from just this verse that life is not steady. Life changes. It's ups and downs. It's full of seasons. It's full of pain. It's full of peace. It's full of pressure. And it's full of praise. Sometimes moments can be full of pressure and praise at the same time. I'll give you an example. The night that Anson was born, we had been in that hospital room all night. There was a moment where Anson was not behaving, and they came in and they had to do things to Allison that I was uncomfortable with, but she was fine with it, but I was uncomfortable because they were putting masks and all kinds of things on her, and she was fine because she knew exactly what was going on, but I didn't. So, but just within a few hours, everything was fine. And there was, even though there was pressure, there was praise that come right after that. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations like that where things change on a dime. When he says here, is anyone suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? He's assuming here that there's people in the church that are both suffering and experiencing joy at the same time. And here's a challenge. In both extremes, do you know where we need to go? To God. In both moments. There's a reason we sang that song that we just sang. Blessed be your name on the road marked to suffering. Blessed be your pain when the sun shining down on me. In both instances, our response should be the same. Pray. Pray. Go to God. So in pain, we pray. The word suffering literally means hardship, not just physical pain. Not just, sometimes we read this and we think, oh, that's just about the sick. No, sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes that pain is financial. Sometimes that pain is in relationships that we have one with another. So let me encourage you tonight, don't lash out, pray. We talked about lashing out last Sunday night. Don't lash out, pray. Don't withdraw from others, lean in. Lean in to your brothers and sisters. Don't bottle it up, bring it up to God. Psalms 34:17. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it for you. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and He will deliver them out of all of their troubles. Think of Job. Get this picture in your head. This is where I was when I was studying this. I could not get it out. Think of Job literally scraping the scabs off of his body. Scraping the boils to relieve the pressure and the pain that he's got. And while he's doing that, he's saying, though he slay me, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. That's a man that brought his pain to God. Not perfectly, but persistently. So then I want to encourage you tonight, as James says, enjoy. When you're in joy, praise. Praise. Are you cheerful? Don't get proud. Get loud. Get loud. Get loud in your praise. Singing psalms. Turn gratitude, your thankfulness, into an air of worship. Praise reminds us the good in our lives isn't random. It's designed. The good in your life is not random luck. It is designed by Him. Psalms 103, verse 2, one of my favorites, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Have you ever sung louder in the car than in the church? Why? Why? When the joy is yours alone, it can't flow to others. Share that joy. James says, don't save that for the car. Bring it into the worship service. Bring it before God and among His people. Because you know what? Your praise, somebody beside of you, they may need it. Because again, just like James said, somebody's suffering right now right beside of you. And they may need to know that they're going to be okay. They may know what you've been through and see you praise, and that will encourage them. I've got a couple discussion questions tonight. Want us to spend some time together and kind of mull over these a little bit. What kind of prayers do you tend to offer more? Troubled prayers, or do you tend to offer more praise? Anybody? What kind of prayers do you tend to offer more? Troubled prayers, or do you offer more praise? Let me get you.
The more mature I become as a Christian, the more I praise. But I have to say, I probably pray more because of trouble, because we look at this prayer list, and I pull that prayer list out, and I pull out that 4-page prayer list from our Sunday school, yeah. And it's full of trouble. It's full of ill. It's not full of praise, but I do know that the older I get, the more I praise. And the more trouble I've been through, the more I praise.
The more you praise, right. Anyone else got anything? Anyone else want to share? Don't be shy. Don't be shy like you are in your car and you sing it all out. I'm going to put Rick. He needs the steps in, he told me. Most of us... I've started jotting my own answers to my questions down. So here was my answer. I've often run to God in trouble. and forget Him in the blessing. I've done that. So that was a reminder to me to praise even when it hurts. How can we build a habit of honest, consistent prayer? What are some practical ways that we can build a habit of honest, consistent prayer? Anybody? Y'all are quiet. We've had a few weeks where we've not done discussion questions. So, yeah, y'all remember how we do this. Y'all have to help me out here. How can we build a habit of honest, consistent prayer? Set aside time. That's great, Randy. Absolutely. Actually, that's one of what I've got wrote down here too. Start small, but daily. Daily. Use Scripture. Journal. I think I told you guys this is something that I've been doing. I've been praying about something and then dating it when I prayed for it. And then when God answers it, I'll go back and circle that. And I have found that time and time again, God, I had not been giving God enough credit for how great and wonderful He is. Because He will go before you on these items. You trust Him with it, and He'll do it. He's a God that is faithful. Anyone else? How can you build a habit of honest, consistent prayer? Anybody? Okay. My second point tonight is faith seeks healing and help. Let's look at verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven him. Now, James Shift here, in the first verse, he was talking about private prayer and private praise. And now he shifts from private prayer to shared spiritual care. So he talks about sickness and support. James gives a simple command. If you are sick, don't isolate. Call for help. Call for help. So the elders here, pastors, presents mature spiritual leaders that's going to love on you and care for you and keep things confidential between the two of you, and somebody that you can trust. The anointing oil, is there anything in that anointing oil right there that heals, saves, or does anything? No, absolutely not. But what it is it's a symbolic gesture. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit's work of the healing grace. And the prayer of faith just isn't magic. It isn't some abracadabra, pray over you and you're good to go. It's confidence in God's will and God's power to do exactly what He said He was going to do. I was reminded of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul prayed 3 times for healing. God said, "My grace is sufficient." So healing may be physical, or it may give you grace to endure. Paul didn't receive healing in those 3 times. But what he did, if you look at one of the last things Paul said, "I have kept the faith, I have run the race." So he gave him grace to endure. You wouldn't believe how many times I've heard church members share with me, not just here, but other churches, "You know, I didn't come up and ask for prayer because I didn't want to be a burden. I didn't want to be a burden. I didn't want any fuss. The church shouldn't be a cruise ship. The church is a rescue ship. And that's what we should be focused on for each other. A safe place where we can come. And if we need healed, we can be prayed over and loved and cared for in that such a way. So James says that we have confession and community also. He says something bold here. Confess your sins one to another. Here's something I know about unconfessed sin is it blocks. It blocks things between you and God. Both relational and spiritual. Relational with each other and spiritual unto God. Confession doesn't mean confessing to everyone. But what it does mean is that you find an accountability partner, somebody mature, somebody trustworthy that you can share with. To confess is to bring into light what sin wants to keep into the dark. So then we talk about intercession. James says, pray for one another. Pray for one another. So what is intercession? Intercession is when we bring someone else's need before God as if it were your own. It's like stepping into somebody else's battle and walk with them in prayer. It's like Moses. We had the Aaron and the Hur. They held his arms up. Remember that? It's like holding the arms up of the weak. That's what an intercessor is. You say to God, I'm here, Lord, lifting them up before you. Romans chapter 8, Paul says, Christ himself makes intercession for us. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy inside to know that the King of all glory, when I get weak, he can hold me up. Can I get an amen? Amen. Don't that make you feel good? Christ himself makes intercession for us. That also tells me this. You are never more like Jesus than when you're praying for one another. You are never more like Jesus than when you are praying for one another. So why do we hesitate to ask for prayer? Why do we hesitate when we're sick or when we're struggling? Anybody? Some of us has gotten beyond that, but I'll admit, I've been in that place to where I feel like I don't want to be a burden to somebody. They've got bigger issues. People are far worse than me than I have to pray for me. I've been there. Anyone else? Why do we hesitate to ask a prayer when we're sick or when we're struggling? Anybody? Peggy? Pride. Being at death's door will get you over that pride?
Yeah, getting. I know for me, being at death's door, I didn't hesitate to call anybody for prayer.
Anyone else? Everybody's going through something. Anyone else? What was that, Peggy? Doubt. Doubt. Is it even going to matter, right? Is it even going to matter? So, you know, there may be a fear of judgment. What if I go and ask for prayer, what's people going to think of me? Pride. Or thinking, here's the worst one. I don't need to go ask for prayer because I can handle it myself. It's not that bad. I can do it on my own. Let's look at verse 16 through 18. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced fruits. James moves now from pray for one another to this is how you do pray. Hey, you remember Elijah? Pray like he did. Pray like he did. So, effective and fervent. Let's spend a little time on what this means. Effective is active. It's energized. It's working. It's consistent. Fervent means passionate, persistent, not cold or mechanical, not just words, but actually has some meat on the bones of the prayer. Luke 11:9 says, ask, seek, knock. That's fervent prayer. Not one and done. You keep asking. You keep seeking. You keep knocking. You keep trying. You don't give up. If you're in a period of time where you are waiting for God to answer your prayer, sometimes that pause where you don't hear anything may feel like an eternity. But do not give up. The children of Israel didn't give up. Remember, for 400 years, they had a pause. They didn't hear anything. And then God showed up and brought him his own son. And there were people that recognized him as the Messiah. Yes, there were people that rejected him, but there were people that recognized him that this is the Messiah. So there may be a time where you're paused, but don't give up. Do not give up on your miracle. Do not give up on what God has in store for you. Do not give up on seeking God and finding out what. If you're looking for to confirmation for your calling, do not give up. I thought about a parent who has lost a child in a store. Oh, quick story. So I was probably 3 or 4 years old. I mean, I was y'all are in for it when Anson gets a little older. I'm just telling y'all, he's going to be bouncing off these walls because I was a wild child. And my mom had went shopping with our pastor's wife, and so they were in JCPenney's in the mall, and I never will forget it. We had went through one of those little kiosks where they had like games for kids, and I was enthused with that little kiosk, and we had moved on from that, and I was upset because I wasn't getting to play with the toys that was there in the little kiosk in the mall, and I was upset. I threw my little fit, and then so I was like, I'm just going to be rebellious. I remember this. I was little, but I remember this. So Mom and her name was Margaret. Mom and Margaret had walked away, and they were looking at their dresses or what have you, JCPenney's, and I said, I'll get them. So I climbed up underneath a dress rack that was all the way to the floor. And so about 5 minutes, maybe, if that had went by, and Mom realized that I wasn't there. And I can remember Mom screaming in that store, screaming for me. Where are you? And she found me, but let me just tell you, I got my hind end. You know what? She didn't wait for a switch. She just did it right there in front of the JCPenney manager and the cashiers and everybody, I guess. Because I think at that time she had the store people involved, and it was just a whole ordeal. But I'll tell you this. A parent who's lost a child does not whisper. They cry out. That's what a fervent prayer is. It's as if you had a lost child. Maybe, God forbid, maybe some of y'all do have lost children. Eternally lost children. And I'm praying along beside of you right now. But a fervent prayer is desperate. That's what a fervent prayer is. It's desperate. It calls holy fire. It's desperate. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and he prayed it desperately. And it didn't for 3.5 years. And then he turned it around, and then he prayed that God would pour the rain, and he prayed it fervently, he prayed it desperately, and it did rain. James's point, Elijah was human. And he wanted us all to see this. Elijah was just a human being. He had no wings. He was no angel. He was no angelic being. He had no halo. But he had faith-filled, obedient prayer. And that brought national change. National change. 1 Kings 18 said that he prayed 7 times on the mountain before the cloud comes. That is fervent. That is a fervent prayer. So what's the difference between weak, casual prayer and fervent, effective prayer? Here's what I have found, and God has convicted me of this here recently. Casual prayer is distracted. Casual prayer is doubting. And fervent prayer is bold, it's trusting, and it's passionate. It means something. Let's look at my final point tonight. Faith pursues those who wonder. He says, brethren, is anyone sick among you? Wonders from the truth, and someone turns him back. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So James tidies up his entire letter here with a mission. And here's the mission. Go after the wanderer. Go after the wanderer. The word wanderers implies a slow drift, a slow move, not just sudden rebellion. This is like a family rescue. We're not called to be spiritual spectators. We're called to be spiritual shepherds. So love pursues about this wanderer. You don't let a friend walk into traffic. If your child was sleepwalking toward danger, you'd do everything you could do to wake them up. Charles Spurgeon said, if sinners be damned, let not one go unwarned, and let not one go unprayed for. And James says, whoever turns a sinner, that whoever who James is talking to could be you. Most likely is you. There is somebody in your life right now that you can impact, you can touch. That soul might be saved through your boldness. Galatians 6:1 says, if anyone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. Restore them gently. Why do we find it hard to approach somebody who has wandered from the faith? You know, we have fear that we would offend them. We have a lack of confidence. We may not want to seem judgmental. So we have to balance truth and love when we reach out to them. We have to speak humbly. We have to listen well. We have to remember grace and let the Holy Spirit lead our conversations when we're reaching out to those that are wandering. So let's live what we've learned in James. James ends not with flowery theology, but gritty action, a mission. Real faith just doesn't sit in a pew. It walks. It prays. It reaches. So if you're in pain tonight, I want you to pray. If you're in joy, I want you to praise. If you're experiencing sickness, ask. If you're in weakness, confess. If you're got friends in need, intercede. When others wonder, go find them. Go get them. One of our best examples is Jesus did not stay in heaven. He came after us. One of my favorite songs to sing is, He came to me when I could not come to Him. He came to me. Jesus interceded. He prayed, He pursued, and He healed. So I'm asking tonight that we just be like Him. We be like Jesus. Y'all join me as we stand together and we pray together. If I could have the musicians come. You may be here tonight and you are in pain. You're suffering. You're maybe in physical pain. You may be in emotional pain, financial pain, pain for your relationships. I'm going to ask you to pray tonight. If you find your life right now in an unspeakable amount of joy, praise Him tonight. If there is any sick among us tonight, ask, come and seek. We'll anoint you with oil. We will pray over you. If you have weaknesses right now, if you find your place in sin, confess your sins to God. Find a trusted partner. Confess your weakness to them. Let them help you be held accountable so that you don't fall into it continually. If you know of those people around you, maybe it's family, friends, neighbors, church family, that are in need, I'm going to ask that you intercede for them tonight. If there's somebody in your life that you know that has wandered away from the faith or has never accepted Christ as their Savior, I'm going to ask tonight that you spend time praying for them. Pray that God direct your path on how to go and how to begin to turn and show them the way. I could ask Miss Phyllis to go ahead and play. I just want to spend just a few minutes doing those things. This altar's open for anyone that would like to come. If you want to just stand there in your pew, if you need to sit down, if you're not able to stand, that's fine too. You could be praying right in your seat. But let's have some fervent prayer tonight, fervent praise. Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that we can come to you, God, in joy, God, in sorrow. I'm asking tonight, God, that you teach us to pray like Elijah prayed. God, I'm asking that you help us praise like David praised. God, and I'm asking that you help us pursue like Jesus pursued us. God, help us be a people of prayer, a people of action, a people of healing, a people of humility. God, I ask that you make our church a place where no one walks alone. God, that no one suffers in silence. God, let our faith not be just words, but Lord, let's be visible in how we pray and how we love. Lord, and for those, God, that are on our hearts tonight that don't know you or have wandered from the faith, God, I ask that you direct our every word, our every path, Lord, that the Holy Spirit just show up and empower us with boldness as we begin with our every action to be able to reflect your love and your grace. But God, also help us do so in love by balancing how you would have us speak, how you would have us act. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen. Sing with me. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Are our minds, hearts, consciences clear? If so, tonight, giving the choir a little bit of a break, to be honest with you, I'm a little bit under the weather, and so I'm going to go home and I'm going to rest just a little bit. So I appreciate your prayers. Anyone else? Anyone? Okay. God, I ask that you be with us. You keep us safe. You bring us back to our next appointed time. In your holy, precious name of Jesus, we pray.